George Bush doesn't care about black people.
From the creators of the Jimmy and Luke Show at Front Seat Cinema.
This is
revolutionary.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
One man's poison is another man's bacon.
This is
hello and welcome to episode 6 of Revolutionary, the Revolutionary Podcast, the podcast of Revolution. I've said that before. And it is the third episode I've done in 3 days, so yahoo for that. If you heard episode 5, which you may not have or you may have, I was joined by a very special guest, the first guest of the that we've ever had on the podcast, and that was my good friend Kian, and it was a very fun episode, and we recorded it in a forest, and as we do many episodes of our other podcast, the Jimmy and Luke Show, and if you haven't heard it, we talked about all sorts of stuff, and it was a really fun show, and I would recommend that you catch up on it, or if you've heard it already, sorry, my chair, if you've heard it already, I hope you enjoyed it. So, today's episode, I'm going to cover a couple of topics. First of all, World Cup update. The World Cup final is tomorrow, so I'm recording this on Saturday. So tonight is the third place playoff between Brazil and the Netherlands. And then tomorrow is the final between Germany and Argentina. And I will be supporting Argentina in the final. I will be supporting Brazil tonight. I am a European who supports only South American countries in the World Cup. Yes, I'm pretty sure all the countries I've supported during the World Cup I supported. For a while, the USA, it's an American country, then they were exited the tournament, then I supported Brazil, Argentina, Costa Rica, so I'm a big fan of South American teams. But that is all I have to say about the World Cup today. I've also, in the last few episodes, been talking a lot about Garth Brooks, and as far as I know, there hasn't been any new Garth Brooks news since our last episode, not really. There's just a few people who are having meetings, but there haven't been any actual news stories about it. I'm going to begin today by talking about a few big names who have passed away, who have died in the last few days, in the last 24 hours really, or a bit over that. So the first person, yesterday morning when I woke up, I go online and I see this headline. It basically says, Glee star Becca Tobin, colon, boyfriend found dead in hotel room. So I thought this meant that Becca Tobin and her boyfriend were both found dead. Turns out that it was only the boyfriend who was found dead, but it's still quite a sad story. But Becca Tobin plays Kitty on Glee. She's only been on season 4 and about half season 5. Not a particularly nice character. Wouldn't be a character I am a fan of. But anyway, it is exactly a year to the day tomorrow, and Sunday marks the 1 year anniversary of the death of Corey Monteith. So the fact that someone close to a Glee star and that a death related to a Glee star was in the news 2 days before the Corey Monteith anniversary was very, very unsettling and disturbingly timed. But anyway, it's quite sad. So, 28-year-old actress had been in a long-term relationship with nightclub owner Matt Bendick, so he's the one who died, 35. The pair had been traveling together when Matt's body was found in a Philadelphia hotel room, according to TMZ. There are very few details about what has happened, although it's claimed Matt was in the city for business and Becca decided to go with him. The couple went out with friends for a celebratory evening on Wednesday before going back to their hotel. On Thursday afternoon, Matt was discovered dead in the room by a maid. No cause of death has been revealed. And yeah, so no one's really talking about what Becca Tobin was doing when he was found dead or when he died, but it's a developing situation. So that was the first story, and that was quite sad, especially because of the Corey Monteith anniversary as well, made it even more moving. The second story was, personally, I found it to be even more tragic, and that was the death of Dave Legeno. I really don't know how his name was pronounced, but he played Fenrir Greyback in the Harry Potter films, in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2, and he died at the age of 50 His body was found dead in a remote part of Death Valley in California, I think, by a pair of hikers in the early hours of last Sunday. So his body was actually found quite a few days ago. The news didn't come out until Friday. Officers sent a helicopter to locate his body and recovered it. It is believed he died of heat-related issues. He was also a mixed martial arts fighter. I mean, I remember... Fenrir Greyback, in my opinion, is pretty much the most terrifying character in any of the Harry Potter films. Well, he's the most terrifying human character. Well, he's a werewolf, but the most terrifying, you know, let's say the Aragog, the spider, and the basilisk, they're all pretty terrifying. But Fenrir Greyback is pretty scary in the Harry Potter films. And I remember seeing this guy being interviewed on the special features of Half-Blood Prince and talking about his career as a mixed martial arts fighter. And he was a pretty interesting guy. I was really, really sad about this news. So he was only 50, and apparently he had a daughter, and he was from the UK, as all Harry Potter actors are. And it says he was set to star in an upcoming film called Sword of Vengeance. And on this news story, there's a clip of him at the opening scene of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince during the Death Eater attack. He gets a few scenes in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. There's another scene here. He's in the cornfields in Deathly Hallows Part 1. No, Half-Blood Prince. Well, anyway, he was terrifying in those films, but he died. That's very sad. And then today, and this is kind of the biggest story in terms of how the media are covering it, and that is that Tommy Ramone, who was the original drummer of the Ramones, and he's the last remaining member, he died after a battle with cancer. His real surname was Erdeli. He's been battling cancer of the bile duct. He died in Queens on Friday. The news was posted by Andy Schwartz, former editor of New York Rocker and a longtime friend of his, and confirmed by the band's official Twitter account. He played on the Ramones' first three albums and produced the last two. And he was 62, so rest in peace, Tommy Ramone and Dave Legano. And Charlie Hayden, legendary jazz bassist, also died at 76, but I'm not going to lie, I have not heard of him. But, you know. And who else? Let's see. Bobby Womack, I know. Bobby Womack died at the age of 70 on June 27th. Eli Wallach died at the age of 98. Eli Wallach's the star of Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I think he's in The Magnificent Seven. He was in some great films. He's a fantastic actor. He died at 98, which is just an extraordinary age to live to. So his death wasn't... He wasn't so young as some of these other people, but he was still a great, great actor. And pay tribute to him on BuzzHub when he died. Now it's time to rant, for me to rant, but no one wants to hear me ranting, so instead of just ranting, I am instead going to I'm going to start by reading an article. This is an article called Why the Big Bang Theory Sucks Big Balls. I'm going to read it. This is written by Jimmy the Saint on sickchirps.com, but a lot of the article is quite good. I don't even know where to begin when talking about why I hate the Big Bang Theory so much. It's like looking at a collage made entirely from turds and trying to decide which turd is the most unpleasant. Finding a starting point is almost impossible. What I do know is that even though I hate the show with every fiber of my being, it's very difficult to ignore it. Somebody somewhere is always polluting my Twitter feed about how hilarious last night's episode was, or how much of a legend Sheldon is. See? I despise the show, but I still know what the fucking characters are called. Just because something is interminably awful doesn't mean it can't be popular. Just look at UKIP. And make no mistake, The Big Bang Theory is very popular indeed. It's also one of the worst sitcoms of the last couple of decades, by some margin. I've had to sit through roughly 3 full episodes of this abomination, which I feel is more than enough to justify the avalanche of hatred you see before you. If I had to convince my embittered bile into something more concise, then my issues with this shit sandwich can essentially be boiled down to the following. A, the humor is cheap, lazy, and predictable, and B, laughing at nerds is cruel. Now, I realize that calling yourself a nerd or a geek is all the fucking rage these days, and everyone just loves sharing posts from I fucking love science on Facebook to show how scientifically hip they are, but the specimens we are presented with in the Big Bang Theory are meant to represent the more socially reprehensible end of the spectrum. These are the nerds lacking in social skills with misplaced priorities. They are ripe for mockery. That isn't really an issue I have with the Big Bang Theory. My issues revolve mostly around how it's unfunny and also with the weak female characters. This one's pretty good. The humor in The Big Bang Theory is arbitrary and interchangeable. No special effort has been made to construct comedy that is dynamic and inventive. It's probably assembled via a process similar to the one depicted in that episode of South Park where manatees push around balls with words in them in order to make a script for episodes of Family Guy. Well, I quite like Family Guy. Your typical Big Bang exchange goes like this. Nerd 1. Hey, weren't you supposed to insert meaningful productive activity here? Nerd 2. I was, but I didn't. Cue audience hysterics. Nerd 1. Why not? Dipshit audience waits for nerd media related punchline. Nerd 2. Because I was watching my Lord of the Rings box set for 734th time / reading my vintage X-Men comics until 3 a.m. / doing some other nerdy stuff with easy to recognize characters / tropes / stereotypes. Audience shits its pants with laughter. And so on and so forth. The only thing more contemptible than the show itself is the attitude of the bleating hordes who lap it up. I've had to listen to some poor sap defend this atrocity on more than one occasion as they attempt to illustrate the flaws in my argument on grounds that I need to lighten up or that I just don't get it. And there's a whole other page of this. Yes, and this page has some quite good videos from YouTube about the Big Bang Theory and what a shallow program it is. I will now play you the audio of one of these videos.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, my attraction to you is stronger than the force of gravity.
Actually, in terms of strength, the force of gravity is considerably weaker than the other fundamental forces.
Okay, Sheldon, I'm pretty sure she knows what I mean.
Actually, sweetie, I have no clue what you just said.
I believe I have Asperger's syndrome.
So that kind of sums up the Big Bang Theory. It's basically, Yeah, well, that video kind of emphasized one of my main problems with it, which is the very, very poor female characters. When the show starts in season one, when the show starts in season one, there is only one female character in the show, and she is stupid, and she is, she's a terrible female character. She's a stereotype. She is very dependent on the men around her, and I don't think that she is intended to be, nor is she developed in any way during the following seasons to make her a better female character. Now, along the way, the creators of the show add in more female characters, one of whom, like one of the main characters, Sheldon Cooper, who is it just a badly thought out version of Abed from Community, who I will discuss in a moment. She's basically a female version of Sheldon Cooper. She has Asperger's syndrome. She's socially inept, and she's an even worse character than Kaylee Cuoco's character, to be honest. And then they add in another character, and she's a scientist, but you know, she's just such a nerd stereotype that, I mean, it's just unrealistic. So the three female characters in the show, none of them actually represent real women. I mean, the creators of the show, you have to remember, the same people who make 2.5 Men, a show which starred Charlie Sheen for many years, and Charlie Sheen is known for being one of the most misogynistic people in the world. So these people are friends with Charlie Sheen, and these people probably share many of his views. And I think The Big Bang Theory, despite the fact that it is liked by women everywhere, I think that they need to research it and find out why it's just not a good show. The references on it, and this is where Community comes in, NBC show Community. If you've seen The Big Bang Theory, you probably haven't seen Community, because the network who makes Community don't like Community, because Community is far, far too clever for a mainstream audience to watch, unlike The Big Bang Theory, which is just filled with cliches, and therefore the marketing push that The Big Bang Theory gets from CBS, Community never got from NBC, which is why Community never got good ratings, and which is why Community was cancelled by NBC. Now, last week, Community was picked up by Yahoo Screen for another season, and there's also a movie in the works, which is just fantastic news, but Community is one of the best comedies of the century. And the references to Community. So Community's kind of thing is that after the first one or two seasons, which are really, really hilarious and really, really charming, Community does this thing where it's sort of every episode is in the style of a different film. In Big Bang Theory, if you do an episode in the style of the film, it'll be Star Wars, it'll be Lord of the Rings, it'll be something that's really, really mainstream and recognizable. Whereas in Community, it starts off sort of mainstream with Pulp Fiction, but then the references start to get more and more kind of niche, and it does these really, really interesting parodies of films that not many people have seen. And it's just such an intelligent, clever show. And another example of a really clever show is 30 Rock, which also has a lot of references to stuff. 30 Rock and Community are two of the cleverest, the most clever comedies of the century, unlike The Big Bang Theory. Now, Abed is a character on Community, and he's quite similar to Sheldon Cooper, but Abed isn't like Sheldon Cooper, because Abed is an actual, fully formed, three-dimensional character. And I have nothing against Jim Parsons, who plays Sheldon Cooper. I think Jim Parsons is actually a good actor, and I think he is quite well cast as Sheldon Cooper. I just think Sheldon Cooper is just a terribly written character and a badly developed character, and he should be on a better show with better writers where he can actually be developed properly. But Abed on Community isn't just somebody with Asperger's who goes around spouting scientific facts. No, he's like, if Sheldon Cooper is, you know, a science nerd, but let's just pretend he's not also interested in pop culture, but he is, then Abed is, film and TV. But he sees his entire life as a sitcom. Why? Because it is. Because he's on Community on NBC, and he's played by Danny Pudi, and Abed knows this. And he doesn't know it at the beginning of the show, but slowly, as Community develops, Abed suddenly starts to realize that they are all characters on a sitcom. This isn't made a big deal of on The Big Bang Theory. This would be like, big cliffhanger, season finale, oh my god, it's a show within a show. No, on Community, it's just a sort of recurring joke that Abed is just like, well, this is the bottle episode. This is an episode where they ran out of jokes. This is, you know, the season finale, and Abed knows when all of these, sitcom cliches crop up in Community, which makes them not feel so cliched when they do. And in the most recent season finale, there was a lot of fear among the fandom that Community was going to get cancelled, which it eventually did. But in the final scene of the finale, Abed actually makes a joke and says, oh, we're definitely going to get renewed for another season. And he's not even talking to the camera. He's talking to another character. He goes, we're definitely going to get renewed for next season. And I think he says, fourth walls were made to be broken. And he says, the only reason we won't get renewed for another season is if an asteroid hits all of humanity. I'll see if I can find the clip now of him saying this. But anyway, it's such a clever show. Community is great. Big Bang Theory, not so good. Wait, let me see if I can find this. Abed, fourth wall. Okay, I can't find it. But anyway, so, if you are a fan of The Big Bang Theory, I don't blame you. I used to like The Big Bang Theory, but I tell you, watch Community, watch the first three seasons of Community, and you will understand why The Big Bang Theory is just so inferior. Even if you keep watching it, maybe you're into it, fine. But please, believe me, Community does everything The Big Bang Theory does, but way, way better. Unless you're an incredibly stupid person, or you're under the age of 12, in which case, you're probably going to prefer The Big Bang Theory because, you know, it's just filled with cliches. So that's my sort of mini Big Bang Theory community rant. Is there anything else to talk about on this episode? Let's do a couple of seconds of silence, will we, while I think. I'm back. Okay. Nicolas Cage. Yeah, Nicolas Cage. Okay. Thank you for listening to this episode of Revolutionary. Join me very soon for another episode. Episode 7 coming soon. This has been episode 6 of Revolutionary. You can follow me at Revolutionary on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our website, revolutionary.wordpress.com. You can check out my YouTube. You can go to buzzhub.info for all my latest film reviews, news, and stuff. And download my other podcast, Front Seat Cinema. And the World Cup and maybe the World Cup final will have taken place next time I do an episode, or maybe not. Anyway, thank you for listening. Goodbye. This is Revolutionary.